Today, throughout our land, we pause to remember. To remember the cruelty and the bloodiness of war and terror. To remember the awfulness of world wars and those who died. To remember those who were killed and murdered during our own troubles. But we also today remember not just the dead, but also the living. To remember those who are serving in war zones around the world. To remember those who are working as peacekeepers and peace builders. To remember those who are still hurting physically, mentally, emotionally. And to pray for peace and for healing on the outside, in our world, in our province, and also on the inside, in our own troubled hearts. And as we remember these things today, just in the limited time that is ours, the text that I just want to draw your attention to for a very short time this morning is Luke chapter 17 and verse 32. And I'll ask the men upstairs just to look after the PowerPoint. There's not too many slides. Luke 17 and verse 32. Remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. The context, just very quickly, is that Jesus in this passage is speaking about his return. It's going to be sudden and unexpected. People are going to be caught out. They're going to be doing all sorts of different things, and then suddenly the Lord will have returned. And in that context, he mentions the examples of Noah in the past, who built the ark, and also Lot, who had to flee from Sodom. The flood suddenly came. The destruction of Sodom suddenly came. And as one commentator says, there will still be those, when the Lord comes, who will be more concerned about the stuff in the house than about the judge who's at the door. There will still be people, and there are still people in our land and in every generation, who are more concerned for their day-to-day well-being, important as that obviously is, but they never really give much thought to their eternal well-being and to the coming King. Remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. Let me remind you today of the privileges that Lot's wife had endured and enjoyed. Think of her family situation just for a moment. And I'm thinking primarily, if you can just think yourself into this for a moment, Lot's wife, who was her uncle by marriage? Her uncle by marriage was the great Abraham, the great patriarch. What a privileged home, as it were, to grow up in. Think of some of her experiences. Day by day, being in the company of her uncle by marriage, Abraham, being able to observe him and to watch the way that he prayed and sought after God and sought to point other people to the Lord God Jehovah. Think of her experience of that situation. You remember the story way back in Genesis? She was rescued along with others of her family from the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah by Abraham. She was present when that rather mysterious figure, Melchizedek, came and presented bread and wine to Abraham. She was present whenever the angels came into Sodom and said, "Flee from this place. The judgment is about to fall." She saw all of this. She heard all of these things. No small privilege. Like so many of us. How many of us here today, the privilege of being brought up in a family situation where we can think of somebody in the family who has had a real godly influence, always pointing us to Jesus, reminding us of the gospel. We've been in situations, we've had experiences where we've been in places and circumstances in which we have seen the work of God. We have seen and heard the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The privileges enjoyed by many of us here today. Remember Lot's wife. She enjoyed and she had the experience of so many of these privileges. Remember Lot's wife. But also think today of the sin that she committed. The sin that she committed. What did she do? She was told, along with the rest of the family, you can go and study it for yourself sometime. Genesis 19, you will read there in verse 17, where she heard the words of the angels, "Flee for your lives, do not look back. Do not stop anywhere in the plain. Flee for your lives. The judgment is coming." But the very thing that she was told not to do, she did. She looked back. And you maybe say to me today, well, what was the big deal with that? Seems such a small thing. Seems almost a trifling thing. Why was that such a bad thing? Well, first of all, it was blatant disobedience to what the Lord had told her. She was told not to look back. I'm sure that there was a very good reason that if the Lord tells us not to do something, there's a pretty good reason then why we shouldn't do it. But she disobeyed. It was as simple as that. But also it showed where her heart really lay. It showed where her heart really lay. It was not just a small thing. You might say, well, that was a very small thing that she did. It's a very small little sin. Well, what is a small little sin? Does not a small little sin lead to a slightly bigger sin and a larger sin and so on and so forth? How many people are there in this community today, in our land, who started off with what they thought was a small little sin? A little look, it'll not do any harm. I'll only look for a moment. And suddenly, they realize that they want to have another look, and another look, and a prolonged look, and they are caught by some addiction or some vice, and they are entrapped in a web of deceit and lies and misery. What Lot's wife did was disobedience, but it showed where her heart was. And the famous text from the Old Testament, 1 Samuel chapter 15, to obey is better than sacrifice. Is that a word for someone here this morning? You're tempted to, it's just a small little thing. It's a trifling thing. It'll not really make any difference, will it not? It's disobedience. To obey is better than sacrifice. Jesus says, if anyone loves me, he will obey me. He will obey my teaching. Brother and sister in Christ, are you tempted to follow at just a small little thing? Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey me. If you love me, you will not go down the road of saying, oh, it's just a small little thing. It's a trifling little thing. It's not really that important. It is important. The words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also, Matthew 6 and 21. And you see, that's part of understanding why it was such a serious thing with Lot's wife. Where was her heart? Her heart was in Sodom. Her heart was back in that city. Her heart was back in that place. And she looked back and she perished. And what are the lessons? What are the lessons for us this morning? You know, as I was thinking about this, my mind was going in different directions. And I was thinking, I was thinking about some of the young people. in our families who can begin so well but drop off the Christian scene somewhere along the way. Almost a picture of Lot and his wife, and in particular his wife, who somewhere along the way lost her heart to other things and was lost. I'm not going to say much about this, but young people here today, maybe it's the young people who are not here today that I need to be speaking to, but young people, many, so many of you, wonderful privileges, privileged situations, circumstances, hearing the gospel, hearing the message of the Lord Jesus, and yet we live in a real world where there are temptations that draw us away. Remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife who lost her heart to other things and was lost. Do not allow your young hearts to be drawn away by other things that seem so bright at the time, and yet underneath there is a very dark and sinister side which will draw you away from Jesus and ruin you spiritually. And you know, as I thought of the young people, I also thought, well, let's take a step back. What's the primary influence on young people? The answer is the home. Parents, mums and dads. And at the danger of generalizing at the expense of creating some guilt, not the worst thing, and with a clear understanding that children and young people from godly parents can and do go astray, the reality is that for too many families, and I'm not just talking about Kilkeel here, I'm talking right across the board, the reality is that for too many families connected to the church, there is a lack of commitment and example being demonstrated to the children and the young people coming up behind us. Whether it is fathers whose lack of attendance at worship teaches the next generation of sons to lack attendance at worship, or whether it is a poor example at home compared to a wonderful example in public, the young people see all of these things, and it has its toll, and it reaps its harvest. Add to this that we live in an age where there is a real lack of commitment, both outside the church and inside the church, exemplified in the sobering fact, allow me to say this, that not so many years ago, the harvest services would have been full morning and evening. And a couple of weeks ago, the church was a third full for the evening harvest service, including visitors. Is there an apathy creeping in? Is there a disobedience? Where do our hearts really lie? Remember Lot's wife, who at one point seemed to be going on so well, and yet her heart was drawn away. And at the end she perished, because she looked back longing for Sodom, and she was lost. Christian brother and sister, and I apply these things to my own heart, but let me ask you, are you lukewarm in your Christianity? Are you cherishing, dare I say, some secret sin which is eating away at your Christian experience? Generally here this morning, maybe you don't yet profess to be a Christian. Are you halting between two opinions? Are you holding out for some later life repentance? Even, as sometimes I hear extraordinarily and fearfully, people holding out for a deathbed repentance. How foolish. How extraordinarily foolish. Remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. She looked back and she perished and she was lost. Despite her privilege, She heard the gracious warnings of the Lord, but her heart was elsewhere and she was lost. And so this morning, my message, as I draw it together, is essentially very simple and yet, I hope, quite challenging. Remember, on this day of remembrance, remember Lot's wife. Do not, like Lot's wife, hold on to your own life and end up losing your life. Repent and believe the good news of the gospel. Believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved today. Remember Lot's wife. And on this Remembrance Sunday, remember the one who came and died and rose again that we might live, that we might never perish, that we might live forever in the glory of heaven to come. Remember him. And you know, it is wonderful to know, folks, and I finish with this, it is wonderful to know that there are some things that the Lord chooses not to remember. The Lord chooses not to remember our sins whenever we bring them to him and say, sorry, please forgive me, please turn my life around. He forgives us. And he says, because it says in Jeremiah 31 and verse 34, I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. That is wonderful. God is gracious. God is forgiving. God is kind. God is loving. So today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Repent and believe the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember Lot's wife.